Joe, I'm going to ask you to remember your little line there for second service as well. It's a good transition into it. So make sure you say that. Here we are on December the 23rd, 2 days away from Christmas. Why in the world are we talking about the Transfiguration? There's a reason. At this time of year, we have a lot of focus on the birth of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of focus on the coming of Jesus into this world, even though the Bible does not give us any time frame regarding that birth, as to when it may have occurred. But if we focus on his coming, and we don't focus on why, and we don't focus on the absolute necessity of it, and then we miss the whole thing. And we miss everything. And so the Transfiguration becomes an illustration and an example for us of the why and the absolute necessity of his coming. And so I couldn't think of a better thing for us to do on this day when we're focusing on the fact that Jesus Christ came and that he was born. And we have a holiday in celebration of the memory of that we focus on the why of it. And so if you want to take your Bibles, we're going to be looking at some verses. If you want to, you can. Some of the verses will be on the screen, and some of them we will read aloud to you. Transfiguration. You find it recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 13, the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 13, and the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. All three of those accounts record for us this event of Jesus taking those three disciples, those four disciples up on the mountain. Peter, James, and John, taking those three. I wanted to put Andrew in there, but Andrew's not. But taking Peter and James and John up on the mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. And in that transfiguration, when his face became as bright as the sun, and his clothing became so bright and so brilliant, it was like the brilliance of light, that there also appeared to him, or with him, two men, one named Moses and one Elijah, and they talked with Jesus. Peter was so overwhelmed and so terrified, and he said, "Let me build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then the cloud came, and the voice out of the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love, listen to him." And they fell on their face at the voice of God. And when they looked up, it was only Jesus. And they had questions for him. The fourth mention of the Transfiguration is in the book of 2 Peter. And it's in chapter 1. And it's the verse where Peter talks about the surety of everything that we've talked about and everything that he was reminding those people he was writing to about and us about. And he talks about the surety, the reality, the absolute certainty of everything that we have told you, because we had that voice from that cloud on top of that mountain confirmed to us that this was the Son of God, that this was the Christ. And we have that making even Scripture more certain and more sure because of everything that we've seen and we know about the Christ. Now, why the Transfiguration and why is it so important? Turn your attention to one verse, and we'll get to it in just a second. All three say Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus. All three accounts will tell us that. It's only Luke that tells us what they talked about. Matthew doesn't, Mark doesn't, but Luke does. And Luke tells us what it was they were talking about, but not specifically, in general terms. And here's what he says. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Luke 9:31. They talked about his death. They talked about his death on the cross in Jerusalem. They talked about his death that was soon to come to place. Why would they talk about that? But that raises some questions. And all I'm going to do is raise the questions, and we're not going to answer them, because that would take too long. But when you look at this verse, they spoke about his departure. How did they know? There is some awareness on the part of Moses and Elijah as to what's going on. There's some awareness of what's about to happen with Moses and Elijah, who've been dead for a long time. There's some awareness of what's about to take place on the earth with regard to Moses and Elijah. And they are coming to Jesus to talk to him about it. How does that awareness come about? How does that happen? We're not going to go into anything specific about that, but the Bible helps us with what they talked about and why. Why are they talking to him about his death? So I want you to look at some verses with me. Why would they talk about it with him? And let's look at some verses. The first one we want to go to is Acts chapter 3, where one of the ones who was on the mountain is talking to the people in the city of Jerusalem shortly after Jesus had been raised from the dead. This is the second sermon that's delivered, this by Peter and by John. And in the book of Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 21, Peter is talking about Jesus. And he's talking about he's the Messiah and he's ascended into heaven. But then in verse 21, he says this: heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. Restore everything. What's going to be restored? What is it that God, through those Old Testament prophets, writes about that says is going to be restored? And when we come into the New Testament, what is it? The life God intended for us to have at the beginning. The life we had with him in the Garden of Eden. The life where we are in his presence and not separated from him. That eternal life, eternally with him in his presence, is what's coming back. It's what's going to be restored. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. There's a prophet coming, Moses said, likened to me, a lawgiver. And this prophet who is coming, likened to me, is the one that everyone must listen to. And whoever does not listen to him, look at the key, whoever. How extensive is that whoever? Whoever does not listen to him will be cut off from his people. And here's Moses writing, and the quotation from Moses comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18. In this, Paul helps us in Romans and Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, to understand that from among you there's coming a prophet, and also from the offspring of Abraham there's coming one who is going to save us. And that's mentioned down in the latter part of the reading. We didn't get all that way down in verse 24. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, Paul helps us with that part of the verse by telling us offspring is singular. It's not plural. And Paul will write in Galatians 3:16, he says, of seed, not seeds, talking about one, talking about Christ Jesus. He also says, through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Now, I want you to focus on what's said to Abraham. And I want you to think about where. That is said when Abraham is told to go and offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And it is said to Abraham after God stops it. And at the end of the chapter. And we're going to come back to that in just a second. So here is Peter describing what Moses and Elijah and the rest of the prophets had been saying about the one coming. There's one coming. There's one coming. And when he comes, it will be significant. And it will restore all things back to where it was. And then this verse. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who were called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. When Jesus died on the cross, the blood that he shed in that death was the redeeming thing that paid for our penalty of sin. And it paid for the penalty of sin for all mankind. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve, and going all the way forward until he comes again. When we catch what's meant here in Hebrews 9:15, we know why Moses and Elijah wanted to talk to Jesus about his death. Suppose he had not died. What would have happened to Moses and Elijah? They would not have been forgiven. They would not have had sins removed. They would no longer need to exist. What would have happened to the world? God, knowing there would be no sacrifice for man's sins, knowing that there would be no payment for all the sins of humanity, would no doubt have brought an end to the world, because there was no reason for it to continue and no reason for any future human beings to be born. Without his death on the cross, Moses and Elijah were not forgiven. Moses and Elijah would still be in their sins. And the punishment for their sins would have been their death, as it would be for all people. They understood the absolute necessity of this death, and they understood the absolute importance of it, and that without it, they had no eternal life, and they would not be with God. They came and they talked with him about his death. So Jesus again could be reminded and encouraged of the thousands already dead whose eternal life with him depended upon what he was about to do, and the untold thousands yet to live whose dependence upon him for their eternal existence was dependent upon what he did in this death. It's in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 56 that Jesus will say this: your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad. What's that talking about? Is this describing an event that we have no record of in the Bible at all. What is Jesus saying when he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day? He longed to see it. And he saw it. And he rejoiced in it. What event is that? Is it anything recorded for us in the Bible, or is it something absolutely unknown to us? I think it's recorded for us in the Bible. And I think the event that is being talked about here is a substitute for a death sentence. Isaac was under a death sentence. Go take your son and offer him as a sacrifice to me. On the way up to that mountain, Isaac carrying the wood and Abraham carrying the fire and a knife. Isaac asked him, we have the wood, you have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham, longing for this day, says to his son, God will himself provide the sacrifice. And then he takes his son and he ties him up and he puts him on top of the wood that's on top of the altar. And he takes the knife and he's about to kill his son when God says, don't do that. Stop. Now I know there is nothing you would withhold from me. Now I know how deep your faith is toward me. And Abraham looked, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And he took the ram, and he killed it, and he put it on the altar, and he offered it as a sacrifice. He saw what God did, and he named that mountain, on the mountain of God, it will be provided. On the mountain of God, it will be provided. What did he see? He saw Jesus' day. He saw a substitute for a death sentence. And Jesus says, he saw my day and he was glad to see it. Because a substitute was provided by God to take the death that belonged to Isaac. Just as a substitute has been provided for all humanity to take the place of all of us who have sinned. Moses and Elijah knew Jesus was that substitute. And that without that substitute, they had no payment except their own life for the sins that they had committed. So they talked to Jesus because they knew why he came. They knew what he was here for. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Go to it with me real quick. We're not going to read all of this. I say that, but don't know where I'm going to stop. But Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12, I just want you to notice the things that remind us again of what the prophet said about this one who was coming and why he was coming. Just start reading in verse 4. He took our pain. He bore our suffering. Yet we considered him to be being punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We've heard this all of our life. Let's finally let it hit home. Let's finally let it sink in. Without him, nobody lives. Without him, no sin is forgiven. Without him, nobody goes to heaven. Moses and Elijah, already dead, knew how important this death was. Paul writes this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 6 through 14. As he's trying to encourage Timothy. And he's trying to encourage Timothy to be bold and to be brave. He says this. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God, for the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's what Ephesians talks about. That we were chosen in him before the world was ever created. Before the world was ever created, God knew what he was going to do because he knew what we were going to do. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. This gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has brought immortality and forgiveness of sins to light. Here's how it's done. Here's how it's accomplished. Not just for us, but for the whole world. Not just for the ones living now, but for everyone that's lived since the beginning of this world. So Jesus will sum it all up. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why Moses and Elijah talked to him. That's why they tried to encourage him. That's why in the midst of individuals who did not understand what he was doing and were telling him that he wasn't going to do it, Moses and Elijah came and they talked to him about his death, because they knew that without him and without that death, nobody was going to the Father. That's what we need to remember. That's what our focus needs to be. Jesus came, and here's why. And that's why it's so important for us to put our trust in him. Are you in Christ? You've been baptized into him. Do you need to come home to him? We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing. I was